Chasing Stimulus. Federal dollars are supposed to be chasing pavements and infrastructure projects all over America, but the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina isn't seeing much.
I'm getting very little money for roads when you look at it now. I'm only getting $4 million for new roads.
Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements even if it leads nowhere?
Pavement to nowhere? It's the next exit off Route Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Friday, May 8th. We are chasing stimulus down in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm John Hockenberry, joined this morning by Farai Chidea. Good morning, Farai.
Happy Friday. Oh, my goodness. Happy Friday. It's tearing up my voice.
You got that frog I've had all week.
Yeah, I know. You passed it to me. Anyway, coming up, stress test stressors raising $75 billion, easier said than done. And what's the stimulus money doing for one banking town? Then we've got Sports Illustrated columnist Selena Roberts talking about steroids and baseball. Her new book is A-Rod. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines.
And in the headlines, Toyota posted an annual loss for the first time in almost 60 years. The world's largest automaker lost $4.4 billion in the year ending in March. That's a major reversal of the trillion-dollar profits Toyota booked last year. Slumping sales have forced Toyota to idle U.S. factories, and the company has laid off about 6,000 temporary employees. And the stress tests are in. The Fed Treasury told 10 of the nation's 19 largest banks to raise more money, totaling $75 billion. But on the upside, that massive figure is less than many analysts expected. In California, strong winds have fueled a wildfire in Santa Barbara overnight, pushing the blaze west into what firefighters say is inaccessible terrain. Resident Daniel Nahira compared the fire to a blowtorch.
It was really fast. We saw it. It just swept over along the mountain ridge and then swooped down south into Santa Barbara. It took out a bunch of homes in a flash.
The 4-square-mile fire has resulted in the evacuation of 18,000 people. Farai?
Well, a former U.S. soldier has been convicted of raping and murdering a teenage girl in Iraq and killing her family in 2006. Former Army Private First Class Stephen Dale Green was convicted yesterday in Kentucky federal court. Jurors reconvene on Monday for the sentencing phase of the trial. And in Pakistan, the UN Refugee Agency says that 500,000 people have fled fighting in the northwest. That brings the total number of people displaced there in the last year to 1 million,
wow,
according to the UN. Meanwhile, Pakistani jets bombed suspected Taliban positions in the Swat Valley today, and the prime minister of Pakistan appealed for international assistance as the refugee crisis grows. Manny Ramirez sat out last night while the Dodgers lost at home for the first time this season. He started his 50-game suspension for using a banned female fertility drug.
Manny!
Oh, the Dodgers are heading into a series against the Giants tonight, minus Manny.
Well, A-Rod joins the Yankees tonight. We'll be talking about steroids and Manny Ramirez and all the sort of baseball news with Selena Roberts in just a moment. So we want to ask you, have you had it with baseball? Do steroids basically end your love affair with the nation's pastime? Or are you just getting used to all the abuse? Call us with your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE, baseball and steroids, or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Farai Chidea.
And I'm John Hockenberry, and we've been talking about stress tests all week, of course. Finally, just after the markets closed last night, the Federal Treasury made it public. The tests gave 9 of the nation's largest banks a clean bill of health and told 10 others to raise $75 billion in new capital. Secretary of the Treasury Timothy Geithner put it this way.
The leaders of our nation's banks have a lot to do to earn back the public's trust. And to do that, we want to see them working hard in their communities, making the loans to businesses and consumers are going to be so important to economic recovery.
That's after they raised the $75 billion in reserves that the feds say the banks need to project themselves as healthy. Joining us now is Simon Johnson, professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management, former chief economist at the IMF, and co-founder of the economics blog Baseline Scenario. He joins us from Boston. Simon, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So explain to me something. The rating system of Moody's and S&P, that sort of thing, was part of what got us into this entire financial mess. And I don't know what criteria Moody's and S&P use to rank financial companies like banks. But are these federal stress tests significantly different than the ratings agencies that have been around for decades, centuries?
They are different, but they're not significantly different. And you put your finger on the key point, which is stress testing is used by regulators and by rating agencies for lots of things, including how you look at housing securities. You know, all this, the junk that got us into this trouble, all the securitized mortgages, so on and so forth, were subject to exactly this kind of stress testing. The stress testing is only as good as the technical models and as good as the political will you have to oversee powerful banks.
So are these stress tests better than the ones that led us into this crisis? You say they're not much different, but how do we trust them? And certainly, how does the administration trust that these banks are actually healthy?
Well, these stress tests are a great success in terms of public relations. Really, the government has got on top of the information flow in and around banks. Instead of being buffeted by stories about AIG bonuses, now they're controlling the story in a very clever way. And they're obviously feeding into a much more optimistic market mood and helping to reassure people and end the panic. And I think that's good. And I think it's quite successful. In terms of whether they've really assessed the capital needs of the banking system going forward, on that, I think we should all be very dubious. The stress scenario they use is a very mild one. It's rather like you go to the doctor to have your heart checked, and he says, get on the treadmill and sit on this chair. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Your heart rate does not go up.
Well, Simon, it strikes me that one of the key criticisms of the various aspects of, you know, financial bailout has been that the credit markets have not really loosened up. A lot of people who have high credit scores and money for a down payment still can't buy a home because folks aren't lending. Will this finally tip the scales on that practical level?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we really don't know. I think that credit standards are tightening still. I think that a lot of this, you know, changes in process that were put in place, you know, back starting in September when we had the big credit crunch, are still feeding through into the system. And I think, unfortunately, our banking system is going to be, and our securities markets are going to be impaired for some time to come. We're out of a panic phase. That's very good. But do we see any signs of a rapid recovery driven by banks or pulling the banks along? And there, I think the answer is definitely not yet.
Well, but let me follow up on that. I mean, Farai asks a great question. It seems to me this is an insanely fabulous business. You can get money from the Federal Reserve or the TARP for something like 2, 3, maybe 4% interest, even lower than that. And you can lend it out at 7, 8, 9%, or if you're doing credit cards, you know, 18 to 23%. I mean, that's a great business. Why aren't they lending?
Well, it is a great business. And Goldman Sachs, which I think is pretty much a branch of the government right now, has a really good research report out this week laying this out and saying that our pre-provision earnings, so how much the banks will make without doing the calculation on their losses on previous loans, will be very, very high for exactly the kinds of reasons that you're talking about. Big government subsidies, in effect, giving them a massive spread on their interest rate. So that is definitely where they're going in terms of the profitability of banks. Now, does that translate into higher loans or easier loans or people with good credit scores being able to refinance? That remains very far from clear. So the banks could make a lot of money, but it may not benefit the real economy or you and me very much.
Any quick comment on the fact that the Dow Industrials went down about 100 points waiting for these numbers, and then in after hours, Citigroup spiked about 10%, and it looks like a positive opening on Wall Street?
I think there's generally a lot of confusion around the bottom line from these tests, and some of that's intentional. They didn't want a very dramatic, clear day one message. They want people to have to puzzle around a little bit. And, of course, they've leaked out some juicy bits, and then they didn't leak some other pieces, didn't emphasize some other pieces. GMAC, for example, they flagged as having difficulties. People are still digesting the Bank of America news, which you know, you could interpret in a less positive way.
So am I wrong to say dreadful economics is your verdict, but fabulous public relations?
Very well handled public relations, disappointing economics, but understandable that they didn't want to, you know, really look too hard. I mean, when you go in the sausage factory and you find out how sausage is made, you don't really feel like eating sausage for breakfast. Right.
There's a breakfast thought. Simon Johnson, professor at MIT Sloan School of Management, co-founder of the economics blog Baseline Scenario, stressing the stress test. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
So we're going to get unemployment numbers later today. And the unemployment figure, along with the GDP, is the sort of basic measure of how the economy is doing, particularly if you're talking about recession. And in our quest to put some sort of human visualization behind these very, very abstract numbers that come out each week, each month from the government, we're turning to Charlotte, North Carolina, a place where, you know, it's good to look at because Bank of America is stationed there. It's the nation's largest bank. And Charlotte, which has a history in textiles, industrial manufacturing, it's a NASCAR city, and also is a banking center, has a very serious unemployment problem. And Takeaway correspondent Andrea Bernstein is down in Charlotte. What are the people of Charlotte thinking about this economic downturn? It's not familiar. Charlotte's a boom town traditionally.
It's kind of shocking. Unemployment here is about twice what it was a year ago. It's in the double digits. Food stamp dinners are about a third higher. And you do hear some people acknowledging like a couple people that I found on Tryon Avenue, the main street in Charlotte the other day, a mill worker and a gentleman who worked at a food store. This is the Depression, but
for the first time in my life, I have a concern that if I ever lost my job, I probably would have difficulty finding another one with so many people looking.
I go to church every Sunday, and I see a lot of people that are just, you know, begging God for a job.
Wow.
But those two were the exceptions, and what I found was a relentless optimism. Listen to this.
I think it's turning around. I think things are looking up.
What industry do you work in?
Banking.
How are you feeling about the economy these days?
I mean, you know, it is what it is, so.
What is
it? It's good. You have your good and you have your bad. I mean, but overall, I feel it's moving in the right direction.
You work at Wachovia?
Yeah.
I'm a construction worker. Economy's fine to me. My money's still rolling. I don't have a problem.
So that was more the rule rather than the exception. What accounts for this optimism?
It was, and I found it everywhere. And, you know, I talked to some people. I talked to the mayor. I talked to some civic leaders. And one thing they kept saying to me is that, you know, Charlotte has reinvented itself many, many times, from Milltown to Banking Center. But they kept one of the things they kept saying to me is Charlotte, even though it's known for its banking, also has Duke Energy here. It also has a big university here. And the economy is diversified. So even though things are bad, Charlotte has in some ways always climbed up by finding the good and the bad situation.
Well, they're still building that Duke Energy tower there in the center of town. But the unemployment rate has doubled in the last year.
It's amazing. I thought that there was no construction in America, but walking down Tryon Street, you will see the giant Wachovia Bank going up. There's a performing arts center. There's a couple of museums. One developer, he's the CEO of the Bissell Companies, Ned Kerr, he said to me that these tough times are actually an opportunity for Charlotte.
The fact that we now have an unemployment rate that's in that 10% range in a perhaps perverted sense is actually helpful to us to migrate in new businesses, which will further diversify our economy. So this in the end is going to be a good thing for us.
So the CEO of Bissell Companies there, Ned Curran, says that unemployment means that the workforce of Charlotte, which is a coveted workforce, is going to attract businesses, and also the low wages, non-union, those sorts of things are going to actually cause a boom.
That is what he said. And I got to say, you know, having spent a few days here, I'm in a whole lot better mood than when I came because
I can hear it.
There is this sense of we are going to turn a sow's ear into a silk purse. Just you watch.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching the new unemployment numbers coming out later this morning when the Labor Department releases its employment report for April to see how it affects Charlotte. Andrea Bernstein, Takeaway correspondent, thanks for joining us.
And really, check in with you later.
Really fascinating there because it's counterintuitive in some ways. But you never know what's going on until you're actually on the ground. And it's such a pleasure when you can get out in the field, don't you think?
Yes, economies are not solid fabrics. They're prints.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.